This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Almost Famous audience.
Hi, Ash. How's it going?
I'm pretty decent. How are you?
Wait, you can't say you're pretty decent. I want an honest answer. What makes it pretty decent?
I'm pretty decent.
Yeah, like, so what's good, what's bad?
I had a great week. Well, when I say I've had a great week, I had a vastly improved week this week. So it was very exciting. I was able to go 3 days without taking Zofran. So I went to a bachelorette party, the tamest bachelorette party of all time. I felt like my most normal. So it was very exciting.
That's great. Well, I'm really happy to hear that.
Thanks. And now you get to go into not normal starting tomorrow.
That's right. So little updates, just so everybody knows, if you hear any background noise, tomorrow I do go into surgery at 7 a.m. Mountain Time. So everybody's thoughts and prayers would be great because I want to come back and be healthy and ready to go for the wedding and just for life. But it's just an ACL surgery, so it's not like a big deal. But right now, because tomorrow I'm in surgery and the bathroom at this house has been getting redone, there's a cleaning crew up kind of like cleaning up all the old stuff. So if you hear any banging, that's what's going on.
Oh, we remember when you told us about this bathroom. I don't know if it was on air or not, but apparently, I'm sorry, you guys, if you're hearing this again, because I don't remember whether or not we said it on air or not, but Ben had one of those weird houses that have carpeting in the bathroom, and supposedly there was like particles of former house owners in
it. There was. You know what else I did this week? I put out the handheld carpet cleaner and I got down like, so all the stains, I think the past owners of the house had like animals and stuff. I got down my hands and knees and I did that this week. And like, this house is as clean as can be going into surgery time, which is awesome. But yeah, we had carpet in the bathroom, which is super weird. So it's getting redone. There'll be more updates. Jessica's better at updating people than I am. So you can like get on her Instagram if you want to see how it looks. I really like it. It's coming together good and we're close. We're so close. But life's good, Ash. Surgery tomorrow. Going to hang out. People ask me what I'm going to do during surgery. I plan on sleeping a lot. I plan on watching a lot of football, which I know you and I both love to do. And
excited.
I plan on reading a couple books. But I always plan on reading, and that sometimes works out, sometimes doesn't. Anyways, hey, Ashley, also I plan on watching some more Paradise. I think it's going to be a good way to pass the time.
You do have 4 hours a week of it, so.
4 hours
actually,
a week.
Starting next week, doesn't it go down to one episode again?
I don't know. It would have to because, they've done a good job this season. I am going to say I like this season. We're going to talk a lot about it. But there has been moments where you're like, I don't really need to be watching this. Like, this doesn't feel like, it feels like they're stretching out content a little longer than needed.
Except for this week.
This week was amazing.
Enthralled. Oh my God, Ben, I just can't believe what good television this week was. Jared normally doesn't watch with me. He gets like the weirdest anxiety with Paradise. Yeah. Like he puts himself back there again. And he starts having like all these thoughts about like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. I can't believe I did that. So it stresses him out, but man, he watched this entire episode with me because he was compelled, as was I.
Oh, it is. It would go down, and I'm always a little bit more dramatic than most. I would say this week's Paradise episode would go down as a top five most enjoyable watching experience for me, at least on Paradise, maybe on the show.
Maybe all time. Yeah, maybe of the whole general show. Now, I feel bad saying that because it's at the expense of Natasha and even at the emotions, like I feel bad because whatever's between Kendall and Joe and what has been between Kendall and Joe, like because there's so much emotion, it makes for great TV. Like all these relationships that have formed off camera, when you get tastes of it on camera, that's what makes for the best TV.
I would agree with you. I don't feel bad. I'll say that.
You don't feel bad because Natasha is so much better off without Brendan?
Yeah, I would say like if it was like coming, like if lives were getting destroyed, now I don't know how Brendan's, I mean, he'll be fine, right? Like everybody is fine coming out of this. Give it a while. Like, I mean, I think he even said it when he was sitting on the bed. He's like, oh, everybody's going to hate me for a couple months, and then they're going to be like all about. But anyway, we're going to get into that. I would say I didn't hate watching it because the Kendall Joe situation felt like they both needed it. It felt like it was a healthy conversation. I don't know where it goes, but it was intriguing for me to watch. And I don't think either side was feeling a personal pain, like hurt, like
what?
No, listen.
Okay.
A personal hurt, like they were feeling less than, like it was a personal jab at them. Their character wasn't being questioned. It was a pain of like, hey, I miss you and I don't know how to deal with this, which is a really healthy conversation to have, especially given their environment and who they are as people. So it was painful to watch because I know there was pain involved in the emotion, but there didn't feel like there was pain. Like, I think both parties did a good job at not making the other person feel less than and more hurt within that conversation.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. But there was still so much pain to that conversation, especially coming from Kendall's angle.
But we always talk about, Ashley, the things that we don't like watching and the things that hurt are like the bullying, where it feels like people are like, they're like people on the show are getting like personally attacked, or the things that, you know, we don't love watching people's lives just like combust on television most of the time. Because it's like, this is going to suck for you afterwards. Like, people are going to ask you about this on the street.
I don't know. I feel like that was kind of what it was with Brendan. Like, holy crap, you are digging yourself further and further. And it is so entertaining because you can't stop.
Well, we're going to dive into that because I have a lot of feelings. I know Ashley definitely has a lot of feelings on that. I know you all listening have a lot of feelings on that. Let's take a break here, Ashley. When we come back, we're going to break down Bachelor headlines for the week. And then we're going to do a deep dive, just you and I, because we needed, this is such a big episode that we needed the two of us to go back to the old days for a second and break it down right here on Almost Famous.
Okay, so let's just start off with the first scene. Kendall comes in, she's looking for Joe. Joe's with Serena. And, you know, Kendall sits down with Joe on like the bed that they first had a conversation with in Paradise. I know that we just said it was about us, but Jared has so much to say that I had to invite him into the conversation. Ben, do you mind?
You guys take it away.
No, we're not taking it away. It's just that Jared has so much to say about Joe and Kendall.
That's not true.
I always love Jared's
you do.
Insight. So I would just love to sit back and hear Jared go off here for a second. Okay, let me lead into it for the two of you, though. Kendall walks on the beach. She's looking for Joe. Jared, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? What is your opinion on this situation?
He has so many feelings because he loves them both so much.
Listen, they're just both two incredible people that didn't work out in a relationship. That's what's so difficult. Like, fast forward to the Brendan and Tasha thing. Brendan obviously is in the wrong. He's being a jerk. So it's like easy to not like him, right? And be like, oh, I'm 100% team Natasha. But when you go to Joe and Kendall, they're just two incredible people that just didn't work out because of location and logistics, which sucks. And that's why it makes it so sad. And like, you're watching Kendall speak and she has that like quiver in her mouth when she's trying to speak to Joe.
Her throat is so tight and yeah, she's trying to keep the tears
she's
in.
She's so choked up and you're like, oh my God, we've all been there before where we're just getting emotional and we're trying not to cry in the moment and trying to articulate our thoughts as best as possible while talking to someone that we're obviously still in love with and want to be with, but maybe have made mistakes in the past. And it's just like, oh God, we've all been there and it's just the worst feeling in the world. And Joe is dating this other girl, but you can totally tell that Joe is still kind of into Kendall. He's not fully
he
done
said,
with her.
He said he doesn't know whether he's still in love with her or not.
Which means, yeah, I believe it. He's just like, he's confused, which makes sense. So I'm interested to see which direction that
okay,
goes in.
Okay, but so let's take this one step at a time, chronological order here.
Chronological.
So we don't jump ahead. We're going to focus on Joe and Kendall here for a second. Jared, I'm glad you're here for this. Because I do think you are probably have strong opinions. I know Ashley does as well. If you don't mind, I want to guide us through breaking this down piece by piece to help understand the situation. What do you think, being in Paradise before, the two of you, it feels like walking down the beach, knowing that you care deeply for somebody? For Joe and Kendall, it was a deep love, knowing that they're there, not knowing if they're in a relationship or not, and waiting to, like, what is that feeling like for them?
This is why I wanted Jared to be here for two reasons. Because one, we've been in a similar-ish situation just in the fact that, like, we built a relationship off screen and then we had to go back on screen and there's just so much
exactly
that people wouldn't be able to understand that happened off screen, right? And then I also wanted Jared to be here because of location, because it seemed like logistically...
Well, I'll be honest.
Okay.
If Ashley told me at the beginning of our relationship that she would never move to Rhode Island, I'm sorry, that's going to be a big factor within whether we pursue a relationship or not. Location is a factor. I know everybody says, oh, you move for the person that you want to be with. Yeah, it's so much easier to say than to actually do, because why don't you be with someone and then move to a place that you've never been before, where you have no friends, and the only person you rely on is that significant other. A lot easier said than done. So I understand where Kendall's coming from. Having said that, while she's walking down the stairs to answer your question,
yeah,
Ben,
question.
She totally wanted to throw up in the bush, because it's just anxiety ridden. You're going down there. You know what's going to happen. You know most likely he's in some sort of relationship
he
with somebody else.
He has to be at that
it's
point.
It's 3 weeks in.
You know, like, that he's gotten kissed somebody.
Yeah, he's been through two rose ceremonies. So Kendall knew that he was at least talking to someone. And he went to freaking paradise. So there's a part of Joe that has moved on. She's well aware of this.
But Kendall, I don't think, would have gone to paradise if it weren't for Joe being there.
I agree.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I think that all in all, Kendall definitely feels like she's in the lower position here. Because he has, like, all the positioning.
Well, he's got the power.
Because
he's got the upper hand.
He has all the upper hand. Because he's been there for weeks. Because he didn't go for her.
And listen, Joe might be still confused, but it appears that Kendall's more invested in Joe than Joe's invested in Kendall right now. And I'm not blaming Joe for that. That's just the way the situation unfolded. Unfortunately, Kendall didn't want to move to Chicago. I wish so badly that Kendall went down to paradise, very similar to the way Dean went down. Remember when Dean left and then came back for Kaylin, and Dean was like, I am only here for you, Kaylin. I want to leave in a relationship. Because before that, Dean was like, I don't know if I'm ready to be in a committed relationship. He left. He realized he missed her. He came back. He's like, I want to try this. I want to pursue this. This is what I'm willing to do. I am willing to commit to you. I wish Kendall went down and said, listen, Joe, I'm not over you. I miss you. This is what I am willing to try Chicago with you. If you leave with me right now, I'm willing to try Chicago.
So let's pause here for a second, because Ashley and I, a few weeks ago, kind of were under the understanding that Joe and Kendall might have broke up for more than just logistics. This episode, I am now under the belief that logistics played the biggest part in their breakup. Now, Jared, you just said something that I'm interested in, because I am not convinced from watching this episode and knowing the behind the scenes of everything and knowing how difficult this had to be for Kendall, that she was going down to get Joe back. I'm not convinced that that conversation, she had the hope at the end to say, no, Joe and I are going to give this a shot again. I think they both needed closure, or they needed to both openly communicate where they're at. In fact, Kendall holding in her tears was hard for me to watch, because what I think they needed, two people that care deeply about each other, two great people that we've all spent time with, they just needed a good cry. Like, Kendall just needed a good cry and say, Joe, I care about you. I don't know what this means. I don't know what this looks like, but I'm here in paradise to explore not only having this conversation with you, but also what it looks like for me to move on.
Well, that's kind of how Joe interpreted it too, because he said to Serena after the fact, he was like, well, first it seemed like she was here to try to get back with me, and then it seemed like she wanted to have some sort of friendship closure thing, so I don't really know what to make of the combo.
That's why I think Kendall made a mistake going to paradise, because I love Kendall. We've talked to Kendall. She's the best. I want her to be happy. And seeing her go down there and be so confused about whether she wants to be with Joe or wants to pursue another relationship is, one, difficult to watch. But secondly, I think the wrong approach going to paradise. What Joe did was the right way. You go to paradise and you say, I'm here to explore other options. Now, was he ready for it? That could be a conversation to be had. But he was there only to pursue other relationships. When Kendall came in, I felt like she was confused about, do I want to go for Joe because I feel like there's still potential in that relationship, but I also am open to other relationships. I think that's the worst thing you can do by going to paradise.
She's lying to herself. It's exactly what I did. I was like, okay, I'm going to go down there. My main priority is that Jared's not with anyone.
And if he's not that, and he still doesn't want to be with me, then maybe I'll be open to being with other people. But in the honest part of my heart, I just knew, I was like, no, I'm here to make sure that we eventually end up together.
And I don't know, and what I think Kendall's, that's what she's doing. I don't know what Kendall's thought process is, but listen, if the, she is going down with open minds for both, I think that's a mistake, because there's no way you're going to be ready to move on and date other people if you're still kind of in love with your ex while your ex is
there,
living with there, you in the same place. Like, that's just not going to work.
Because that's so true. You could, like, go on dates with other people in real life and then be like, oh, I like them, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
But there's something totally different about the person being right there in front of you with somebody else.
If Kendall's confused, do you think that it's a good place for her to be at, on the same beach watching her ex-boyfriend, who she still might be in love with?
Well, she is.
Pursuing a relationship with someone else. But that's my point. So even if she's open to something else, I think she needed to go down with one of two mindsets. Either one, I'm ready to move on from Joe, and it's not going to bother me if I see him pursue other relationships because I'm going to pursue other men. Or I go down there for only Joe, and I'm either leaving with Joe, or I'm leaving by myself. Because this idea of, like, well, I'm going to try to balance both and see how it goes, I think is only going to hurt Kendall, and I don't want Kendall to be hurt.
And yet, if there's somebody there, if there's somebody really there that you like, it could happen. I'm just playing devil's advocate now.
Yeah, but it could happen outside of paradise.
Yeah, I know. Right, right. But, like, I also don't think there's anybody there that Kendall's going to hit it off with. And I think that makes it even harder.
Yeah. And timing exists here, too, where Joe's had the ability to show up to the beach without Kendall there to pursue a relationship. I mean, if Kendall was there on day one, we saw how hard it was for Joe to be on that beach and to see the places that him and Kendall connected at. He was reminiscing and living in it for, we don't know how long, 2 or 3 days, which is, in this world, feels like months. And he was able to move on because he met somebody else. Now, Kendall doesn't have that option. Yeah. Joe's there. And so she's walking into a place where she processes these things and trying to move on. She has to also look across the beach and see Joe sitting on a bed with another girl, and that has to mess with her. It has to play with her head, and it has to set her back. She does not have the advantage here, or she doesn't have the power here, because Joe is able to move on and take a whole day to himself and just be. She doesn't have that ability. Now, the all-star in this, I really did enjoy their conversation. I will say that it was hard to watch. I feel like there's a lot more there than what we even are able to grasp on television. There were some awkward scenes where, like, they're pointing out the place they had their first kiss, and then we see them even the next morning sitting at breakfast together side by side. I don't know, you know, what that looks like or what that feels like when you're down there, but there were some awkward moments. I thought that was a little bit much, where they're, like, pointing out the places they had connected. But Joe then, I think they both handled well. Joe goes over to Serena, which is obviously a really tough position for her to be in. And I thought the way she supported him, like, made me like her a lot more than I already did, where he said to her, I think there's going to be a lot of conversations we have to have, because there's a lot still to process, but I'm in this for you. And she says, I get it. I understand. That's okay. Like, we can't just gloss over that. Like, that's how everybody would respond. That is a very mature, incredible response for her.
She's very mature. I also still think that he likes her a lot more than she likes him.
I don't know. The whole thing is so insane. You know, when we see friends go down there and people that we're, like, really invested in and are people that we know, it's so crazy while watching the show and being like, how is this happening? Because most of the time when we watch Paradise now, we're so detached from it because it's most people that we don't meet till after the show that, like, it's a show. But, like, man, when I see Joe and Kendall involved in this, I'm like, how is this happening? How is this girl just, how is Joe's new girlfriend, Serena, responding like this? If I was her, I'd be like, no, bro. Like, either you're over your ex or you're not. So it is very mature of her. But also, like, Oh, it's just heart-wrenching all around for everyone involved, and it's emotionally exhausting.
Do you have a little PTSD watching it?
Oh my, it's just, I'm so happy we're not back there.
Well, I think the world is happy that neither of you are back there. I think that would, America's favorite couple and having a baby on the way, and you're just still happy you're not in paradise. But it's one of those moments where we say it on the almost Famous podcast where real life intersects with the show. So the question that I have for both of you, do you believe now, without any teasers, without any spoilers, without any knowledge, and if you have it, then I don't want to hear it because I don't know. Do you believe that Kendall will be able to move on to at least pursue another relationship while in paradise this season?
I don't think anybody's going to pique her interest, especially when she has the direct comparison of Joe there.
Yeah, no way. I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, it would have to be Leo from Titanic would have to walk down the stairs for Kendall to be like, never mind, Joe, I'm moving on.
Leo's a funny reference. Leo is the guy that stepped in the middle of Joe and Kendall last time.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that. I don't know. I don't think so. I think Kendall's fooling herself if she thinks she's going to try to date other people in paradise, judging from the conversation she had with Joe. Especially, she was the one who brought up when you referenced them talking on the bed, and Joe was saying, this is like, you know, it's weird because this is where we have first conversation. And Kendall's like, that's where our first kiss happened.
She was
trying, totally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't blame her one bit.
She felt hope in that moment. You could be like, that she was going to bring back all these memories.
Of course.
And before we leave the Joe and Kendall conversation, I do want to say that I appreciate like them kind of telling us the timeline, because I remember watching and being like, I think Kendall might be off here, because I remember when during COVID, when he flew to LA and we were like, oh, grocery store Joe flying to LA to see Kendall during the midst of all this. Very interesting. And that's when he reveals that he said, like, you move to Chicago for a little while and give this a chance. So like he really did kind of exhaust all offers, and it really options. Thank you. And it really was, at the end of the day, her decision to break things off because she just couldn't move. And what we didn't hear from her was like, I regret that, or I would give it a chance now.
And also what we didn't hear about was her twin sister, because she actually said before, so Kendall has a twin, and she's spoken before about how she feels her twin sister is, like her soulmate. And like, I mean, you can kind of understand that.
I can totally understand it. Lauren and I talked about this last week when it became like a storyline, and I don't know. Even though I do think that we are as close as Kendall and her sister, we're okay with being in separate spots.
Yeah, but some people have different relationships. Like, you and Lauren talk on FaceTime three times a day, and you're fine with that. Like, some people really need that in-person interaction.
Well, that's like you need I can do the phone call thing, and you need to be in the presence, but you won't talk as much, which is so funny, because when Jared and I are with our family, like, I'm all about like you're connecting through talking. So I'm like constantly talking to my sister, but Jared connects just by being in the same room, and he's maybe not necessarily as social.
I connect with vibes.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, hey, to move on from this, because it's going to be interesting to watch. And there's not a lot else we can say. My hot take from the question I asked previously, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I think it's going to be hard for Kendall to move on and find somebody, because I don't know right now if we're seeing anybody better than Joe on that beach.
No.
Maybe Ivan, but we don't get to see a lot of Ivan right now. We don't get to like hear a lot from him. We don't see any connection romantically with him. So like that's a little bit of a mystery still. But everybody else is either in relationship or they have drama that's pulled them kind of out of relationships, and they're kind of either like forgotten about or moved on from. Like Kendall doesn't exactly have anybody that's going to live up to Joe, because as we know, and as most of Bachelor Nation knows at this point, Joe is an incredibly charismatic, good-looking, smart, wise dude who cares deeply. It's going to be hard for her, because any comparison to Joe on that beach right now is going to fall short. I think Ivan has a chance. I really do, but we've yet to see it. And that's where I get, you know.
Yeah, Joe's a catch. He's a catch. And she knows it, and she's in love with him. I will say, when Kendall walked down those stairs, both Ash and I looked at each other and was like, She looks.
Oh, she looks so good.
She looks fire. Yeah, she, yeah. She and I can say good. That because my wife is next to me, and we can have a girl crush. But yeah,
and
she
and he
looked.
He knows that. Like, I think that Joe's the cutest guy on the beach. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that.
Probably. Yeah. Do you know that? Yeah. Is that, are you okay with that?
But I also think right. that Jared thinks that Kendall's the prettiest girl on the beach. I think that's his most type.
And it also helps that she hasn't been living on a beach for the last like 3 weeks before that walk down. She comes. Yeah, she comes straight down from the hotel. Hey, Jared.
Straight from AC.
We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I don't know if Jared's sticking around or not to talk about.
You can be free.
Yeah, okay.
Be
free. Jared's out of here.
But
Jared, thanks for joining
us. But wait a second.
Enjoy talking about Brendan and Natasha Saga and Piper. Because, wow. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's a wild time.
Has this guy not seen one previous season of Bachelor in Paradise? Like, there's pretty much one rule. There's one rule. Just don't come in with like a previous relationship and lie about it. Oh my God, this guy. Anyway, you guys take a break. Bye bye.
So then there's another love triangle, guys. Actually, this whole theme of this episode is love triangles.
I like love triangles. They're fun to watch.
Me too. Yeah. They are fun to watch. Okay, this one's between Mari and Kenny and Demi and, like, not so much Tia. There's not really a square here. I guess they really left that date being like, yeah, I don't think there's a big romance brewing between us. But basically, Demi's so funny because, like, she really likes Kenny, but like, I don't know why she's so invested in Kenny. Do you get it? Like, I'm like, Demi, is this just like a physical thing for you? Like, there's no way that you're this emotionally invested and hurt by this guy. I just feel like she's just like a tough. I just feel like she's so tough and like, oh, if he doesn't like me, then I'm not going to like him. And like, I can find gold in the real world, blah, blah, blah. But she's just like really down and out.
Well, I think there's a few things in. I think Demi is tough.
It's an ego thing.
Well, I don't know. I think Demi is tough, but I also think we've seen in from all different parts, from like her being out of Paradise and off of The Bachelor, that she is sensitive and that she has a deep emotional side. And so I think she gets hurt. And I think that her confidence is strong, but she's also like all of us. She has her insecurities and her places that can be hit and that really like throw her off. And that's not just her, that's all of us. And I think right now what we're, and I don't know, but right now, if I were to say what I'm watching with Demi is she's not used to right now getting turned down.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that it's hard for her to process, especially in Paradise, where I wonder if she's like, Kenny's batting out of his league with me. Like I'm Demi and this is Kenny and Kenny's fine, yeah. But like, he's batting out of his league and he doesn't understand it. And yet Kenny's going, yeah, but I have a bunch of other people here paying attention to me that I like and that I'm interested in. And so maybe I'm not batting out of my league. Maybe I'm doing all right here. And so Demi's in this, like the competition side of Demi's coming out and we're seeing some frustrations with it.
Yes. Yes. Let's just say Kenny totally is into Demi, not interested in anybody else. Would Demi be as into Kenny, or is this like a hard to get thing and a I'm feeling rejected thing?
Yeah. So I have friends like this. So I am not I'm not somebody that likes to be if somebody's playing hard to get, I'm not into it. Like I don't like it. It doesn't feel good to me.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's just different. Like people are different there where I would say, okay, if you're not into me, I'm going to say that's okay. And I'm moving on. Like, and I'm going to shut it off and move on because I think that's a defense mechanism for me to not be embarrassed, honestly, or to not feel like I wasn't chosen. So I think there's two ways to look at it. I think, and then some have the confidence to say, hey, you're playing hard to get. I'm going to go harder at you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find a way to still enter into this. And at the end of it, hopefully we can mutually decide this is a good thing. So I do though with Demi from what I'm seeing is like this hard to get thing is like appealing to her.
Yeah. It's about winning right now. I feel like.
Yeah. Because if he was just like Demi, I'm all about it. They might be fine. They might have like a fun relationship. We might like to watch them together. Cause they're like cute and like they would make each other laugh, but I don't know how long it lasts. And I also don't know how big of a foundation it builds. And What's weird here is ever since episode one, Kenny's interest in Mari, like he went to the beach for her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like he's been into this way before. And so I wonder if it's like that girl crush thing too, where he's like, the girl that I've dreamed of, the girl that I mm-hmm. came here for, the girl that I've like.
The celebrity crush thing.
The celebrity crush. Now I've got her and now she's fighting for me. And so like, yes, Demi's awesome, but I'm still focused on the one that I came here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Mari says that the reason that she kind of said, let's go on dates with other people was because she felt so much that she ended up getting scared and was trying to like kind of back out of it. Which, again, I'm not really that kind of person who's like, oh, I have what I want. I'm too scared. I'm going to give it away now. But I know that so many people aren't like that. Did you buy that as a reason?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to use this excuse, but she is younger. She is coming off into paradise and you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I think a lot of people go into paradise hoping to find a relationship. They're also just hoping to have a good time and to like have a hot boy and girl summer and like mm-hmm. show off what they've been working on. Mm-hmm. And so she gets there and then all of a sudden this dude is into her. She's into him. She's feeling something towards him. Now, you know, she's a little jealous and she's fighting for him. And then all of a sudden she has to admit to herself, like, I don't want to just give this up. Like, this isn't fun and games for me anymore. So I do buy it. I think she's trying to communicate her emotions. I don't know if it's the full, you know, plethora of things that she's feeling. I do think she's scared that she could leave this thing in a serious relationship. And I think that would really throw off the plans. Like, I think there's like, you know, a lot that happens after Paradise that people are excited for. If she leaves with Kenny, well then, you know, what is this all for? I don't know if she would feel like it was a big win for her.
I get that. That kind of rolls us over into the whole Natasha Brendan Piper drama because
this is going to be a long talk.
They certainly went in with plans and figured that they would come out with certain. They had expectations of how they would come out of paradise, self-admittedly with more followers. The most astonishing thing I heard on this show in the longest time was, did you see the Us Weekly article? I gained 10,000 followers from it. That was when all things stopped and you couldn't defend them anymore. Like, even if you were trying to defend them, no.
Yeah. That whole conversation on the couch.
Oh, my God.
It made me cringe. So let's start at the beginning.
But laugh. Hilariously.
I don't know, Ashley. It made me mad.
We were jaw dropped. All right, maybe not laughing, but just eyes bugging out, jaw dropped.
Yeah, I wonder what it is. And I do want to go back and start at the beginning here so that we can break down all the scenes. But I wonder
we start at the beginning.
With me, where I watch that and I get really frustrated with the two of them. Because one, I feel like they're messing with other people's emotions. I think they're extremely selfish in the strategy that they've put in place to try to get more followers for I don't know what reason. Is it money? Is it fame? Is it attention? It frustrates me and then it saddens me because I know what it's like to have followers and it's not fulfilling and it doesn't satisfy. And so the pursuit of that and as you move forward to try to get that and you hurt others in the process, it feels really ugly to me. Like it feels really hard for me to watch and I get really frustrated.
I understand that.
And that's just me. It's hard for me to enjoy. And also like, you know, you and I both know when we say it, like we know people whose lives have been positively affected by the show and very negatively affected by the show. And this is also one of those cases where when you go out with these intentions, it's probably going to negatively affect your life by going on the show. And that sucks to watch because I don't want people's lives to be worse for going on, even though I know it happens. And so it's hard for me to see. Anyways, okay, let's start at the beginning and then we're going to get to that and we can break that down a little more.
Okay.
Natasha is very clear with Brendan about where she's at. And she's now feeling more positive about their relationship than ever. Brendan is validating those feelings In a fairly strong way. So I'm convinced at this point, oh, he isn't a Natasha. Not surprising. Natasha's great. We love Natasha.
She's so pretty.
And we've been rooting for her this whole time as she's pursued Brendan. So, Ashley, take it from there.
Well, then we see them having a good moment, of course, when Piper walks in, doesn't even ask any of the other guys to sit down and chat. Like, she makes it very obvious, even walking down the stairs. She goes, hey, I'm Piper, and I'm here for Brendan. And then she asks Brendan. He doesn't really have any hesitation. He says yes. It's everything that Natasha was kind of warned about, but didn't believe, because honestly, it would be hard to believe that somebody would ever go down there with such a set relationship, like to the point where Piper was kind of hurt to hear on the date that Brendan didn't consider her a girlfriend.
Yeah. And obviously, I don't know where his head's at. He's been on the podcast. We enjoyed our conversation with him. I hope he comes back on. And this is obviously going to sound like, I mean, I think most of the people are going to pick Natasha's side here because it's pretty clear, but we'll try to do this with understanding his intentions the best we can. But the one thing that's clear is he's on television. Things are being recorded and filmed. He lied. He did lie to Natasha multiple times.
So many times.
Multiple times. He lied to Natasha. So that is just the truth, that if he was on here, I would ask him that same question. I said, why would you lie to her? So he lied to Natasha. Then Piper comes down. They have this conversation. They're obviously together. They've dated. She's flown to Boston. They spent the day together before he left.
10 times, as we later find out, which is so much different than the 2 times that he told Natasha. And then just like on the date, you can see that he was like, you know, it's really hard for me to like kind of say that I was trying to wait for you and not trying to play with anybody because that would be a bad look. But even though it's a bad look, I'm kind of admitting right now that that is exactly what I did. Like, they admitted on that date that he had that there was a strategy, that he was like, I'm not going to allow myself to get close to another girl enough that it would be wrong.
And so at this point, we don't know what their intentions are in this. Mostly, I guess personally, I'm just confused when I'm watching this scene on like, why did they come to Paradise? What were they hoping for? Well, we find out, we start getting the hints that they came for the following and the fame. And I'm still not fully sold out on that yet until we see him on the couch. But I'm not fully sold out on that yet because I'm like, there's a lot of other reasons why you go to Paradise. Maybe he wasn't convinced that Piper was the right person for him. Maybe Piper wasn't fully convinced. Maybe they just want to go explore their options and see if Paradise led them to be a stronger couple than before. Like, all those things I could get behind.
Well, that's very nice of you. Like, you're definitely looking at the mostly, maybe a little naively, but you know, you're giving them shots.
Well, yeah, mostly because like I cannot believe that 2 people would come down to Paradise. He would pursue a relationship just to stick around, not just in a relationship with somebody that obviously like we're more fired up than most because Natasha is somebody that we like so much that we're like, this is, and she was leaving her emotions on her sleeve. He'd pursue this relationship and then turn on its head all 4 followers and all 4 fame. Well, that gets us to the next point, which is where we see them on the couch having a conversation that we brought up just a few minutes ago. And it's very clear now to me, again, another, I think, statement that I'd make about this situation, just like I said that Brendan did lie to Natasha, is they definitely came here for the followers. That's all they're talking about. It's all they're joking about. It's all they're bringing up to each other.
Can you believe that they are saying this mic'd up? What are they thinking? I know there's that time where he holds the mic and then is like, I'm incriminating myself too much. Yeah. It's like, I'm so far gone right now. But I'm like, are you guys that dense right now to think that this is not being filmed?
Yeah. Well, the truth is they will get more followers because of this. I mean, that's the other thing that's frustrating is, you know, you watch this and you're like, yeah, you're going to like it happens.
I was going to unfollow him.
Yeah. Well,
just listening to that conversation, I was like, I'm going to unfollow you because of this now.
But you know that's going to happen, right? Like, we know that's going to be the case, is that
yeah,
they're talked about a lot. They're going to be in a bunch of headlines. this is going to work for them. And so, but when it works for them, we still can't dismiss the fact of how much this probably hurts the other people involved. And it's also probably hard on the people watching it. I would imagine when you're down there going, this is sad. Like this is, it's hard for Natasha, but it's really sad for the rest of the people there because I wonder how many of their relationships get put into question on intentions at this point. Because it feels like to this point on Paradise, there's some really good relationships there that maybe don't care about the fame at all, knowing that it's still going to come, but they're not there for that.
Yeah, that's so true. When Piper and Natasha sit down together, that's when, you know, a lot of lies come out.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the fact that they were together the weekend that he left for Paradise. Then there was the whole, like, we hung out 10 times thing. And meanwhile, he's definitely seeming like he's talking to a producer in the way that it looks to me. He says, it's not as if I ruined her chances with anyone else. Like, oh, there wasn't anybody else showing interest in her. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, he made some comments, like, from the Brendan that we had on the podcast. And the Brendan that, like, I still think if... I mean, I want to ask him all of this. I don't know if we'll ever get the opportunity. He made some comments that were, like, really hurtful and just untrue. Like, Natasha is a catch. And it sounds like we're just, like, her biggest fan team here. But we are. But, like, somebody would have been interested in her. Somebody would have been intrigued by her. Like, that's crazy to think that nobody would.
That's so rude and so crazy and inaccurate. And then he also says when he sits down with her, he says this was a friendship, not a romantic relationship. And then he says that Natasha had selective hearing.
Yeah. So what do you call it when, like, that was the moment where I got the most fired up is the conversation between Natasha and Brendan, where honestly I could have respected it if he would have said to her, Natasha, I did come down here for Piper and I'm sorry that, like, you got mixed up in this because that isn't fair to you, but yes, the intention was for me to be with Piper, and, like, now that she's here, I'm gonna spend time with her. Instead, he tried to make Natasha feel crazy.
Well, that's definition gaslighting. Yeah, he was, and I was like, he is a dick. Like, yeah. This is a dick behavior.
And like, he never held up. He never backed up on that. Like, even when she was like, Brendan, here's the things that you told me. Here's the facts of, like, what you've said to me. He's like, I don't remember saying that. Or you have selective hearing, or there had been nobody else here for you. Like, it was a consistent reminder to Natasha. And like, he knows darn well, again, give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe during that conversation, even, he didn't remember it. Maybe his intentions were, like, discombobulated, whatever. But then he proves on the couch with Piper that, like, he was annoyed by Natasha, that he was dragging her around, that he knew exactly what he was doing.
I'm so annoyed by her. Yeah. And then he even says to her face, like, I didn't prevent you from establishing any other connections. He's like, who would have you been with?
That was heavy. I'm interested to hear how our listeners are going to respond, because obviously, like, you and I are both fired up about it. And, like, it was hard to watch. There was a lot going on there that just felt unhealthy. And they always teach us a thing or two, especially with their comments. Maybe they'll see something we don't. I just wanted to see Brendan, again, if he felt like he got mixed up in something and it got too big for him to handle and he had to, like, apologize and say, Natasha, I'm sorry. You know, I do want to spend time with Piper. We did have something before. This is where I'm going to go with this. It would have been understanding. But at this point now, Natasha just feels crazy. She's confused.
But, like, no, but she's better than that. Like, she knows that she doesn't feel crazy. Do you know what I mean? Like, Natasha's, okay, like, a strong enough woman who believes in herself enough. I think that she's, like, not emotional. I don't think she's affected in that way. I don't think she's, like, thinking less of herself. I think she's like, no, he's a dick and I'm lucky I got rid of him.
That's fair. I hope so. I hope that's where this is going. Be interesting to watch, Ashley, as we move forward. It was not a good moment for me to watch. I didn't enjoy that part. It was entertaining in a lot of ways, but it was also, unlike the Joe and Kendall situation, the Natasha Piper Brennan situation was heavier, and it was hard for all of them. involved because I felt like there was a lot of deception, a lot of confusion. And it was too hard for me to see Natasha leave those conversations feeling or hearing the things that she had to hear and watching the things that she had to watch. And then the couch, honestly, for me, just kind of summarized everything. Where I was like, you know what? I'm okay coming on the podcast and saying I'm not okay with this. Like, I feel really good now saying, like, this was a messed up situation and one person got really hurt in it.
Yeah. These are it's one of those moments that you're like, man, as much as I love Michelle as Bachelorette, these moments in paradise that you're like, oh, could we just wait a little longer to pick the next lead because Natasha would have been amazing.
Well, from the way things are going right now, she might be there. She could be it next season after Michelle and after whoever the Bachelor is. Hey, Ashley, I think that's enough on the breakdown of this episode. Things you're looking forward to on the upcoming episode tomorrow night.
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't see this because my version doesn't have this.
No, I just asked it off the top of my head.
What is there for tonight? Well, okay, well, what I want to see more of is one, Becca, two, yeah, Tia, and three, the Joe and Kendall conversation continue.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was expecting more Joe and Kendall towards the end of this episode for it to come back up again, but I'm assuming that's because tonight's episode, Tuesday, or, you know, whatever day it is supposed to be, is going to lead with it, I think. And then with Becca, her being, you know, a former bachelorette, I just think it's kind of crazy that we haven't even seen her go on a date yet or, yeah, really establish anything romantic.
Yeah, with the week coming to a close here pretty soon, right?
Yeah.
Also, weird thing about this episode that I don't even know. We didn't have a host. There was no sign of a host the whole episode. So weird.
And what's also interesting about that is I feel like you didn't really need one. I don't really think you need one for Paradise.
Interesting. Well, hey, let's take a break here. We come back, we're going to breeze through Bachelor headlines of this week. And then we're going to take a break until we come out tomorrow to break down another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. But until then, we'll be back with Bachelor headlines. It's time for Bachelor headlines with our host and expert Ashley Iaconetti. Well, first headline is this: Michelle Young, the next Bachelorette, stuns in new Bachelorette promo for upcoming season 18. The quote is, "I'm ready."
Oh, well, she looks ready. She looks sexy. She looks dominant, like a leading lady should. And she says, "I'm looking for someone who's going to change the world with me. I'm ready." And then she's in this gorgeous dress. You know, it's very glammy. It's very like classic glam, old school Hollywood, which kind of brings us to our next headline. Did you read this?
Yeah, I did read it. Katie Thurston reacts to Michelle Young's glam Bachelorette promo. The quote is, "I wore a rubber purple skirt backwards." This is according to us.
Yes, that's funny. She said that the skirt, which everybody made fun of in the promo because it just wasn't the best look, was a shout out to her vibrator.
I didn't realize that. Never put two and two together.
Either.
But it is kind of funny.
Was that vibrator purple?
I don't remember. I think it was always like blacked out. So I don't think we ever saw it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she may actually be a little annoyed at this.
Yeah.
She said, "Regardless, I found love and I hope Michelle does too." I think she's actually a little annoyed at the difference in the promos. I would say it probably has to do with timing. They have a little bit more time to crank out a promo when somebody is chosen to be the Bachelorette like 6 months before filming starts. When Katie's season, it was like a week before.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, like it was very clear that they really wanted Michelle Young as a Bachelorette. Like they moved filming schedules around just to have her as a Bachelorette. So like they've been prepping for Michelle Young, like you said, for months. And they've also just, they're very like very excited for her to be the Bachelorette. So, but yeah, Katie made a good joke about it. She found love. Hopefully Michelle does too. I think that's a great comment and I hope they both do. Well, we recently had Connor Brennan on the Almost Famous podcast, and here's a headline about him. Bachelor in Paradise's Connor Brennan and Victoria Paul spotted together in Nashville after filming.
Well, guys, they both do live in Nashville, and they both have been on the show, so I'm pretty sure they could be friends. They didn't exactly hit it off the first week of Paradise. They weren't involved at all, but there was a girl got a video of them dancing. There's no sight of kissing or anything like that. I do not know that there's anything juicy here.
No, I think they're probably hanging out. They both live there. Maybe friendly, maybe not. Oh, who knows? But next headline is former Bachelor Matt James is set to compete. Allegedly, we can't confirm this. This is a rumor, but allegedly set to compete on season 30 of Dancing with the Stars. This is according to us.
Yep, and while the network has not commented on this casting news, the full cast is going to be announced this coming Wednesday, September 8th. And if he is on the list, he will be joining Trista Sutter, Melissa Rycroft, Jake Palvaca, Sean Lowe, Chris Soules, Nick Viall, Joe Mable, Hannah Brown, and Caitlin Bristow, amongst all the Bachelor alums that have also competed on Dancing with the Stars over the past few years.
I've always taken offense that I was never asked, and I think that's because the show saw me dance a few times, and they're like, yeah, this is more embarrassing than good. Oh, well.
The Higgy?
The Higgy. Thought it would work. Yeah. Thought it was a move. Hey, Rachel Kirkconnell admits that she hit rock bottom after being pressured to stay silent on resurfaced pictures.
Very interesting. Okay, so on Monday, Rachel appeared on a show called Unscripted Live, From Privilege to Progress, where she recalled the days leading up to her apology. She said, I had a lot of people in my ear saying, you'll have time, don't make it worse, you'll have your time to speak, we'll give you a platform, just wait it out. She continued to say, I felt pressure to keep it all in and to wait and to stay silent. And ultimately, you know, she decided to take the first steps and apologize for her actions in an Instagram post. Said, I finally decided to put a statement out. And then obviously that wasn't enough because it's not actually a conversation. Anyone could have written that statement, which a lot of people had thought. I didn't even have any sort of representation at that point. People were like, wow, her publicist did great with this. And that's when I was like, this isn't enough. Yeah, so interesting. Always something I kind of thought about.
Yeah, it is interesting. And obviously it was a major season in terms of Rachel, in terms of the show. And so it's interesting to hear this stuff come out. I think a lot of people were just hoping she would have the freedom to talk and share where she was at and what was going on. So it's interesting that she felt pressured not to. But we're starting to hear more about it now. Ashley, to switch gears just a bit, we were texting about this week, and I want to know what was up. And so I asked you, and you didn't really know either, but now we do have some concrete statement here that Bachelor's Corinne Olympios splits from boyfriend Vincent after nearly 2 years. The quote is, they weren't meant to be.
I know, so sad. You and I were kind of speculating it based on like Instagram activity. And then when I saw this headline, I texted Corinne, and I'm sad that they didn't work out. It looks like she will be moving out of Arizona. They were living together, and apparently they've had only minimal communication since the split.
It's tough, because I know that was a relationship that we had Corinne on, and she talked about, she was excited about, and you had dinner with, and so... Yeah, it's tough. Well, hey, interesting headline here. Bachelor in Paradise's Chris Conran, who we haven't heard much from on this episode. Which
literally
is,
didn't see his face this episode.
Yeah, it's interesting. But he hits back at fans questioning his sexuality. I guess fans were out there questioning what he was interested in.
Yeah, well, Chris said on Instagram this week, I've noticed rumors of people questioning my sexuality. I'm not gay. It's disrespectful that society effeminates Asian men and uses gay as a derogatory term. Don't impose sexuality on individuals.
Well, interesting conversation that Chris is now having out there in the world. on to the next topic, which is about Lance Bass. He wants to host a season of The Bachelor with LGBTQ contestants. This according to NBC News.
Well, Lance and I have talked about this before. He would be so good at something like this. He did something similar on a cable show where it was a house full of eligible gay men. And now it looks like he is interested in doing maybe a spinoff or maybe just a version or just The Bachelor where it is with a LGBT lead. He said, and he goes, this is a quote from him. He goes, if you want the most dramatic season ever, do an LGBT version. I think it's time for The Bachelor to do a gay bachelor. I think that would be so much fun. And I definitely know a host if you need it. He said, I have not talked to anyone about it, but I would be so down.
So interesting. I mean, I know you're down. The more you can watch of, our buddy Lance Bass, the happier you are. Well, Colton Underwood, seen kissing a man in Hawaii 4 months after publicly coming out. This according to ET.
Yes. So he was spotted kissing Jordan C. Brown in Hawaii. The pictures are from TMZ. In these shots, Colton and Jordan are lounging shirtless on the beach while staying at the Four Seasons in Maui. Colton has posted about being at the Four Seasons in Maui this week. And Colton is like on his phone. Brown's reading a book. And in between all this lounging, they share a kiss. And that's what we got right now. And by the way, this guy, Jordan Brown, he is Los Angeles-based. He's 38. He is the founder of One Blue Hill, which is a boutique political strategy agency. And I read that I believe he worked on the Obama and Hillary Clinton campaigns before founding this agency.
Well, Bachelorette's Michael A, as we like to know him, shares tribute to late wife Laura on anniversary. His quote is, keep smiling down on us.
So sad. He says, happy anniversary, darling. I miss you so much that I'm actually at a loss for words. Imagine that. Keep smiling down on us as you always have, and I'll continue trying my hardest to make you proud. So much has changed, and yet my love for you remains the same. I will continue to carry you with me on a journey that was meant to be ours. And while your body is not near, your spirit remains alive in our hearts. I love you to the moon and back, pumpkin. Oh, I'm going to start crying. Thanks for all the love, laughter, and memories that I'll soon never forget.
Oh, my.
Oh, pumpkin.
I know. Well, hey, that's all the headlines we have for today. That's also the end of the podcast. I am going to take a week off. Ashley will hold down the fort with, I believe, a special guest co-host, Derek Paith. We'll be filling in. I'll miss y'all. Ashley, I'll miss you. Have a great week.
I'll miss you. I'll be thinking about you.
Thank you. I'll be back next week. But until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Bye, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.